Thank God for the Holy Ghost. All is well. It's good to see all of you here. And those that's come in and decided to stick your foot in the water and see what's going on around here. I seen when Pastor Tim was announcing the boss was here, Pastor Jeff stepped out in the aisle. Only this he can do, you know. But it's good to see all of you, all the ministers and others that are here and others that's joined and those that may be joining us through some kind of media or something. But, you know, we live in a supernatural day and we serve a supernatural God. I've said this over the years, but you judge it. I believe this, that the church should be the most intelligent people group on planet Earth. I'm talking about in this sense, when we all pool our resources, our giftings, and anointings together, that we should be the most intelligent people group on planet Earth. We should know what's going to happen before it happens, why it is happening, what God thinks about it happening, and then what our response should be to what's going on around us. But it seems to be that somehow we're lacking in these areas, but God always knows what's going on. He may not tell us every detail, you know, of everything, but he always prepares us. I know he started preparing me for some of the things that we're going through now, on back a couple of years ago, and saying things to me. And listen, when he started speaking to me and saying things to me, doesn't mean that I understood everything he was saying. But I was listening anyway. I was paying attention anyway. Sometimes he'll tell you something and you don't really know why, but as you get walking further in that he's called you to do, it'll become clear. Well, that's what the Lord was talking about back there. That's what he was saying back there. And that's what he wants to do. He wants us to know, you know, what's going on and what's happening here, even in our country and our nation and the nations of the earth, because if we look around, we can find that we live in turbulent times. In our country, you know, to deny that would actually be foolish. I mean, you say, well, Brother Randy, I thought you're a faith preacher. Yes, I am a faith preacher. I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, but I'm a faith preacher because I do talk about the turmoil, but I also talk about faith because there's a way out. There's a way that God has for us. But you can't deny the reality of what's going on because there are things that are going on that are wrong. They are terribly wrong. In a lot of areas, even in the start number one in the spiritual realm. Oh, you were shouting before I got there. You know, in the church, things are not exactly right. And it doesn't mean every church, every Christian. And I don't say these things to attack or criticize. I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. Because God wants us to understand and know some things today. There are reasons things are happening. Reasons. And God knows the reason, but he also knows the solution to the problems that we have in our nation. And there are some things that are happening in our nation, and I mean, as far as we look around, it looks like the end of days. In fact, many people are preaching end of days and end times and things like that. But some of these things that are happening and coming quickly, especially on our nation, should not be taking place right now. The church is the one that's going to hold these things back. And the devil should not be taken over. I said the devil should not be taken over. You know, because we got authority over him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by direction of the Spirit of God, turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. And we're going to start right here because I'm going to talk about a moment just before I say some things to you. I want you to understand why I'm going to say them. And some here may have heard something similar to this in recent times and things that I shared because the Lord just allowed me to start sharing this, even though I've known it for over 6 months. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. In Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1, it says there was silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. Now I've got a pastor friend over at a little bitty city. I mean, he pastors a little bitty city, and they've got a post office. It may be 10 by 12. And that's their claim to fame. Doesn't even have a caution light. And I talked about silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes one time, that it says in Revelations, you know, chapter 8, verse 1. And he come up to me after the service. He said, his name is Pastor Reggie. He said, Brother Randy. I said, what is it, Pastor Reggie? He likes hot rods too. He's got them. But anyway, he said, Brother Randy, he said, I've got a revelation for you. I said, what is it? What is it, you know? He's always a jokester, you know, and everything. I said, well, what is it? What you got? He said, I know why there was silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. I said, why? He said, because the men got raptured before the women did. I didn't say that. Pastor Reggie did. You know, men, they just sit around and grunt, you know, so you don't hear much of nothing out of them, you know. But that was his idea. Now, I don't know if that's a revelation or not, or just his idea. You know, you judge and see. But there was silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes. In Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1, that's what it talks about there. And you can read that later. It's not my message. We'll get that. But I'm just putting this point out there. To have spoken during that time when God wanted silence would be irreverent and disrespectful of God himself. That's why no being in heaven, no creature, no angel, no one that was in heaven said one word as God contemplated what was going to take place on the earth. There are times today that God is silent, but it seems to be that the church as a whole, not everybody, hasn't learned when to be quiet and when to speak. And when people speaks, when God is not speaking, it is irreverent, it is disrespectful, and it grieves the Spirit of God, and God shuts down. In the Old Testament, it talked about there in a place that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Why? Because God wasn't doing a lot of speaking. So when he did speak, it was wonderful to hear his voice. So what we have to learn to do, especially today in the modern day church, is we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And if God is being silent, then we should not be speaking in his behalf if he's not saying anything. Because when you're trying to speak in God's behalf and figure out what he's thinking, when he hadn't said anything yet, there's a reason that he's being quiet. Said, Brother Randy, what's the reason? Well, I'm not God. All I know is if he's silent, I'm going to be silent. And I'm going to be reverential, and I'm going to be respectful, and I'm not going to be disrespectful. So God is speaking. And so for about six months, give or take a little bit, day or two, week or two, the Lord began to speak to me about our nation and show me some things in our nation and show me some things, the adjustments that the church needed to make because we were focused on the wrong things. But before I share with you those things, I just had it in my heart to go back and show you why that I share these things. It's not because that I'm trying to criticize anybody, get on anybody, or put anybody down, or call anybody's name, or anything. I want us all to arrive at the destination that God wants us to be at. So that's why I speak in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. On back yonder, years ago, I was sitting in a church, and I'd had a vision. And this vision that I saw the enemy going to attack the United States. In fact, what I saw was Hurricane Katrina. You remember that horrendous storm that hit down there? I saw that coming. Well, and I saw it was coming in 2005. And I didn't really understand it all. But I did see devastation, destruction, and I knew it would hurt the economy of our nation as well as many people. and I saw it was the enemy. God is a good God. You understand that? And so we need to understand that there's strategies that Satan has against the nation, physically, natural nation, but he also has strategies against the church, where he tries to stop the church from accomplishing God's will and God's plan. And so I had planned on sharing something sweet and nice, you know, and not talk about nothing like this, because before Dad Hagin went to heaven, you know, in 2003, he had an experience, you know, where he began to prophesy. You remember that? At his Winter Bible Seminar in 2003 in February, and he prophesied about that year, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006. When he got to the year of 2005, he said, my. And he started weeping and he started crying because he was seeing. He said, judgment. Judgment's coming on the natural realm. Judges is coming on the national realm. Judges coming on the individual realm. Judgment. And so I didn't see anything like that. I didn't know, didn't understand at all. But I did have an experience in 2004. And I saw devastation and destruction coming in 2005. I never equated it to what Dad Hagin had saw in 2003 until later on. And so I was going to speak in this church, and I was going to get up and be real nice. And you can still be nice and share what the Lord says. But a lot of people think it's hard when really it's the plan of God. God wants his people to know. And so I was going to not share that at all. But while I was sitting there, the Lord said, you're going to get up and you're going to share what I said and warn the people about what's coming. I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I said, they want to run the aisles and jump the pews. I mean, that's what they want to do here. And there's a time to maybe run the aisle and maybe a time to jump the pew, but there's also a time to be sober. And we got to learn that too. We learn when to be sober, when to be awake, when to be alive, when to open our eyes. And the Lord said, you remember what I've called you to do. He said, that's why you're going to get up and share it, because if you don't, I'm going to hold you accountable for it. Ezekiel 33, verse number 7. In fact, that night he made me turn to this verse again and made me read it before I got in the pulpit. Ezekiel 33, 7. He said, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of who? Israel. Now Israel, the house of Israel, a watchman to the house of Israel would be a type and shadow of a watchman over the church or to the church today. You understand what I'm talking about? In other words, it's God's people. He was sent to God's people. He wasn't sent to a foreign country or a foreign land. His prophetic ministry was called to Israel. He was to speak to them. He was to tell them something. And so the Lord reminded me of that. He said, I have set thee a watchman, reminding me of what he had already told me, unto the house of Israel. He said, therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and do what? Warn them from me. So we got to hear the Lord's word, and then we've got to say his word. So when God is silent, then I have to be silent. When God speaks, then it's my job to speak. He said, verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. He said, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. That's rough, ain't it? He's telling him, I'm going to require something of you because of somebody else's mistakes and sins because you didn't warn them. Isn't that what it says? Said, can God do that? He's going to hold us all accountable. Now, all the fivefold ministry offices in a degree are accountable just like this today. In a degree. We've got to hear the word from God from his mouth. And then we've got to say to the people
what God says. And if it's a warning, then what the people need to do is pay attention. Isn't that right? Verse 9 said, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, says if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So you see what he was saying. Now you could read this later and get a full context. And God's not glad that any evil comes upon anybody. Of course, we know today that God is not the one doing evil. He's not the one killing people. He's not the one bringing pandemics. We know that the enemy is behind it in some degree, causing these things. So we're not saying in the causative sense that God is causing these things today, but there's an enemy in the land, an enemy in this earth that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when the enemy comes, God needs a watchman to be standing there warning the people of God and saying, look, there's an enemy coming. There's something coming our way, and there's some things that we need to do to prepare for it to hopefully turn this thing around. Now, I don't believe we're going to be able to turn everything, but we can turn some things. But it seems to be today that there is a lot of, or has been a lot of speaking and talking, you know, about the election. You know, before the election, the last election, presidential, there's a lot of prophecies that went forth. And I'm not belittling prophecy. I don't despise prophecy, you know. We don't despise any things of the gifts of the Spirit. But a lot of the gifts of the Holy Ghost were misused and abused. People prophesied, you know, that Mr. Trump was going to get in. And then after, and of course, I voted for him. I voted for him in the primary. I voted for him. And it would have been good, a lot better, it seemed like it would be, if he had got back in there, you know. And there's reasons behind all that, and I'm not getting into that. That's not my message. But anyway, a lot of people didn't vote for him in the primary because... he was kind of rough around the edges. You know what I mean? Is that a kind way to say it? I mean, they brought out all kind of things about him, you know, and that was all to put him, to destroy him. But God had already made up his mind he's going to take him and put him in there. You know what I mean? And he did. But he didn't stay there. But anyway, the prophecies were that he's going to be put back in. And then after he didn't win the election, you know, we know about all that. And I'm not getting into politics. That's not what it's about. That's not what I'm preaching about tonight. So don't get that idea. You know, I don't want you to think. I'm preaching the kingdom of God. I think we're too busy. Oh, don't throw me out, Pastor Tim. Pastor Jeff, hold him down if he comes and gets me. Can I tell you what the Lord told me? Are you sure? Are you positive? Are you sure? Where's the back door? The Lord said this to me. He said, my people are too busy trying to build their nation instead of my kingdom. Find and look for the focus today in the church world as a whole, and most people are trying to restore the natural United States. Now, I'm for having a good country. I'm for doing the right thing. But the church is here not to build the natural. The church is here to build the kingdom of God. Amen. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. But the major focus on the church world, now there's a balance to everything, you understand? There's a balance. Yes, we need to vote. Yes, things need to be said. Yes, things need to be done. But things that are said and things should be done should be said in the Holy Ghost because God says, say them, and not because somebody's mad and angry about what somebody's done. Oh, you were shouting earlier. I mean, you liked the scripture earlier. I'm warning the church. We're on the wrong path. God wants us to build the kingdom of God. We're focusing on the wrong thing. Now, God does care about our nation, and he wants our nation to be a good nation so that we can spread the gospel. But if your focus is totally on restoring this natural nation, you're missing God 100,000 miles. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Oh, I know, you better go look at the door. So, well, what did this class say it was? I think I got in the wrong class. I'm going down to the hall here and change classes. No, you're in the right class. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going on with God. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for the anointing. The Lord's had me pray a lot lately about what Dad Hagin was praying in his latter life. Simple little prayer. Praying to the Lord, saying, Lord, allow the spirit of seeing and knowing to operate through us, you know. Which is really the gifts of the Spirit, you know, especially the revelation gifts. He's had me praying that a lot. And I've been seeing more manifestations of it in my life, and I've prayed it for the whole body of Christ, and I believe we're going to walk in it, all of us, you know. So the spirit of seeing and knowing. This is Jesus after he rose from the dead. And in Acts chapter 1, and his disciples are gathered with them, and he's given them a command. In fact, he told them here, verse number 4 is after he rose from the dead and being seen of them 40 days on this earth. He was here talking to people, appearing to people and doing things. Jesus was. That's what he's talking about here. And verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, saith he, that you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He's talking to them about heavenly things and impartations from the Spirit of God. But look what they did. Verse 6. He's trying to talk to them about heavenly things and impartations of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, when they come together and they were able to talk to him, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? What were they interested in? A political strategy of how to take over the Roman Empire and overthrow them so that Jerusalem could come back to its own, under its own power and not be in control by the Romans. It was a political question. They seemed to be more interested in politics than they were the Holy Ghost. So Jesus said here, verse 7, he said, it is not for you to know. Let me say that again. It's not for you to know. In other words, can I say it another way? Why are you concerned about that? This is not a time to be concerned. Listen, that doesn't mean that we don't care about our nation. That doesn't mean that we don't pray for our nation. That doesn't mean that we don't pray for those in authority, because we do. Right? And we believe God for them. But he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power or his own time. Verse 8, so he tries to bring them back to the reality of what God was interested in. See, their interest and God's interest was two different things. This was the church of that day. See? And so we have the same dilemma today that they had in that day. Jesus loved them, but he tried to keep them focused on the right thing, because he did not answer their question, did he? He just told them, it's not for you to know. Don't be focusing on that. What did he do? He brought their attention back to what they should be focused on. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. He'd already told them, it's not for you to know about the politics of the time. and the Roman Empire controlling you and overthrowing them and getting your position back as a nation. Even those things are important. Listen, if Jesus had wanted to, he could have overthrown the Roman Empire. Didn't he have the power and the authority? But that wasn't his calling. Why didn't he do something about the Romans? Why didn't he overthrow them and throw them out of the country? He was God manifested in the flesh. Because he came for one purpose. He came for one purpose. That was to build and establish the kingdom of God in this earth. He did not come. Don't throw me out. Remember somebody grabbed Pastor Tim? Reverend Scott, you meant to grab me. He did not come to build a nation. He come to build the kingdom of God. You ready for this? He's going to give you a free hairdo. God never wanted Israel to have a king. He wanted to rule Israel. But man made the decision that we don't want a theocracy, God in control. We want manocracy. Is that a word? Anyway, is that a word? Got the English teachers here. Manocracy. They wanted man to be in charge. Isn't that right? Wanted man, and they rejected God. Isn't that right? So God's interest was always in building his kingdom. And ultimately, that's the whole goal and strategy of the Christian faith. Is that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The kingdom of God being established in this earth is more important than any political thing that there is. Even though those things are important. But what happens is you can get out of focus. Jesus, just like they did here, they got into the natural side of their nation. Lord, you're going to restore the kingdom. Are you going to overthrow the Roman Empire? When's that going to happen? Let's get it done here. And by the way, it got rough after he left. Isn't that right? Didn't the Roman general Titus come in there? On that mule or donkey, whatever he was riding. Whatever he came in on. And they took over that place. It got rough, didn't it? But I want to point out something to you. God didn't stop Titus. God didn't stop the Roman general Titus. But what he did do is empower his people that would listen. We need to focus on building the kingdom of God. That's our focus. Now, are these other things important? Yes, but not near as important as building the kingdom of God. Jesus, again, did not answer their political question. In fact, he bring them back to the focus. He said, you shall, in verse number 8, he said here, or verse number 8, after he had told them, it's not for you to know. In other words, you shouldn't be concerned about all that right now. That's not what God's doing. God's building his church. He's building his kingdom. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you so that you can protest the government, so that you can overthrow the Roman Empire, so you can make you some signs and march down the street. Listen, and I'm not against somebody saying something or doing something. I'm not against that. At the right time in the Holy Ghost, you understand? And God say, do it, not man doing it. So I'm not putting anybody down. But he said that they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? So they could be witnessing to me where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, I want you to go build my kingdom and forget all that other stuff. Why? Because you'll get distracted by it. You'll get distracted by it. Now, is that important? Yes, it's important. It's important we have the right people in office. Yes, it's important we pray for the people in office. And yes, it's important we bind the devils. I talked about binding the devil this morning. You know, that's coming against us. I'm sure of that. But the most important thing that the Lord wants the church doing today is building the kingdom of God. If we would focus on building the kingdom, we would steamroll right over everything the devil's trying to do. I mean steamroll. Whew. You ever seen them steamrollers? You know what a steamroller is? That packs the asphalt. You couldn't use it on dirt, but I've seen them on asphalt. And they put water in them things. And they call them steamrollers because sometimes they get that thing, the asphalt down there is hot when they pour it, you know. And then they have some of them steamrollers that vibrate. You ever been around one of them? When you go by one of them, you know what you do? You remember that old song, "The Earth Moves Under My Feet." Because it shakes everything. I'm here to tell you, it shakes everything. And I'm here to tell you, that's the way the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be and can be. If we focus on what God has called us to do, we will steamroll right over the devil. A lot of these things we won't even pay any attention to. We'll just keep it going. Now, do I say that we don't pray? Did I say that we don't vote right? No, I didn't say any of that. I'm balancing it out, right? Did I say that we shouldn't say something? No, I didn't say we shouldn't say something. Did I say we shouldn't oppose something? No, I didn't say we shouldn't oppose something. But if you focus is totally on the natural, you'll miss the supernatural. If your focus is totally on this nation, you'll forget the kingdom of God. And that's the strategy of the devil to get us off path. I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. You're the one that ordered me in here. And we got the ball sitting here too. My Lord. See, I pray the Holy Ghost is witnessing this to your heart. You know what I mean? Witness it to your spirit. Because Jesus, they had gotten out of focus, the early church. This is part of the early church kind of here. You know what I mean? It's the beginnings, you could say. Holy Ghost hadn't been poured out to Acts chapter 2, but still, this is the beginnings, you'd say, because he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Remember? When he rose from the dead, Jesus did. They got out of focus. They got to focusing on natural things and what was going on in the government. They were thinking about the Roman Empire and how they were being oppressed by them. And they weren't even thinking about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, forget that. It's not for you to know right now. There may be a time for that, but right now it's not it. He said, I'm the Holy Ghost going to come on you so you can be a witness. You can go build my kingdom. We should be about kingdom business. Kingdom business. Now, if we focus on kingdom business more than we focus on the natural world business, we're going to be anointed with the Holy Ghost of God, because if we're not building his kingdom, we don't need an anointing. We need an anointing. He gave them anointing to build his kingdom, not build the United States. Forgive me. Don't take that out of context. He gave us the anointing. If we're going to misuse and abuse that anointing, he's not going to give it to us. Because we're in for the last day in time move of God. And I'm telling you, the enemy is using these things in our nation to get the church out of focus. Because God is expecting this nation to pay the price and bring the glory down to the earth. He's expecting the church to arise and focus its attention on heaven, not on the earth. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Isn't that right? So we need to be seeking those things that are above. Saying, Brother Eddie, you said that the things in the natural and the governmental and the politics and the pandemics and all this kind of stuff, they're not important. Well, I'm just telling you like this. It's not as important as people are making it out. What's more important than any natural thing is the kingdom of God. Jesus said to the disciples, boys, you don't need to know about that. You're going to receive the Holy Ghost to go build the kingdom of God. Be a witness means to be a witness of Jesus and build and establish a kingdom. Isn't that right? Not to go around. Oh, Jesus. So, we need to get back on path. In Acts chapter something another. Acts chapter 4. This is the early church, you know. The early church there, the beginning church, we call it the baby church, there in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, it started growing up, you know. And people got born again, filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, the Holy Ghost came down, just like Jesus said was going to come. So their focus began to change. Things began to get different. Where they were filled with God and they got their focus in the right direction. And they forgot about the government. They forgot about that. Listen, balance that out. I'm not saying there's not things we do. We still pray, but we should be focused on the kingdom of God and getting people born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, devils cast out of them and healed in their bodies. And get them ready for Jesus. Amen. Put our faith in that direction and believe God for that. Peter and John had just had a miracle. In fact, do you mind if I just skip through here and read a few scriptures? Acts chapter 3. Since you're in agreement with it, we'll do it. Acts chapter 3, we'll turn back. Verse 1, so you can get the context of what's going on here. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the what? At the what? Say it while you hear it. Can I hear it? What was it? Brother Randy, I know if people are watching online, they want to hit the replay button. They think we got stuck because we just keep saying it. Don't hit the replay button. You might mess it up. They were given to prayer. They wanted to find out what the Lord wanted to do. Isn't that right? So they were going to pray. And let me say this. All of us have our station in life and our calling in life. Not all of us are called to the same thing or the same way. But whatever your calling is, make sure somewhere you include prayer. Isn't that right? But notice here, they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour of the day. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, he was a cripple, we would call it, was carried, he was born that way. That's what that means. He was carried, in whom they laid daily, every day, he laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms or ask somebody to give him some money so he could take care of himself and get food to eat and things like that. No doubt, probably a lot of people helped him. You know, out of concern, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But to ask alms of them, they entered the temple. Said verse 3, said, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And what Peter told him is, I ain't got time to fool with you. I got to see what Mr. Biden's doing. I ain't got time to fool with you. I got to see what Mrs. Harris is doing. I ain't got time to fool. Look out, I'm preaching now. I'm telling you the truth about it. I ain't got time to fool with you. I'm focused on what I got to do. I got to go here and get these devils out of the government. That's what I mean. If I get you sitting right here, you're kicking my time up. You're wasting my time. That's what you're doing. I got to go see what the universities are doing, what they're teaching them kids, what they're doing over there. I got to see what they're doing over there. I got to see what they're doing. I got to see what China's doing. You know, China's over there. They got it. They're around here with a bug spray can spraying that stuff everywhere. You know what I mean? Getting us everywhere. And listen, I'm not saying there's not a truth to all this kind of stuff. I'm not saying this. But he didn't give an excuse that he had something else to do because he had one thing in mind, and that was building the kingdom of God, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wasn't going to be distracted by anything. Isn't that right? It's in your Bible. Who is this? This is the church. This is one of them, two of them right here. Two of them that it was been there when Jesus, they asked Jesus a question in Acts chapter 1. Will thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? Will you overthrow the Roman Empire? Basically is what they was asking him. Peter and John was in that group. But they got filled with the Holy Ghost and it changed their perspective on life. I mean, they were no longer of this world. They had lost their mind. The Bible says that they took notice of them because they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they were anointed to build the kingdom of God, but they were unlearned and ignorant about the ways of the world, but not the ways of God. Woo! Woo! Shouting. Isn't that right? So here we are. Peter and John told them to look on them. This lame man, born crippled from his mama's womb, from a baby, couldn't walk, couldn't move about. They had to take him wherever he went. He said, look on us. And he, the man, gave heed or paid attention to them, expecting to receive something. No, expecting them to give him some money. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Which Peter didn't consider that to be important right at that time. Because he was going to give him something worth more than money could buy. He couldn't have bought his health with $1 trillion. $1 trillion. It didn't matter how much money Peter had given him. He would have still been crippled when Peter left. But Peter was going to give him something that was far greater than money. He was going to come in contact with the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was going to set him free. That was Peter's perspective. Isn't that right? So that man was in for a miracle. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Verse 7 says, and Peter took him by the hand. In other words, he wouldn't let Peter talk him out. This man talked Peter out of it, saying, I can't get up. Peter grabbed him by the hand and he lifted him up. He grabbed him. Why? Because to Peter, the kingdom of God was the most important in his thing in life, and he was anointed to build God's kingdom, and God's kingdom sets the captives free. Yeah. We're speaking by the Holy Ghost. This is the word of the Lord to the church world. He took him by the hand and lifted him up, pulled him up. And what happened? The man fell back down and everybody laughed. Is that what it says? No, it says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength and he leaping up stood on his own accord. And he walked praising God. Now you think that you've praised God, but this man praised God. I'm telling you, he was walking and stomping, Pastor Tim. I know Pastor Tim has stomping events every now and then, maybe. But I'm here to tell you, this man had to come in contact not with the government, but with the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're in this world to build his kingdom. Your call for such a time as this. The world needs an answer. We got it. It's Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. People are focusing on the problem, so we need to be focusing on Jesus. He was leaping, walking, and all the people saw him. So when the people come running around, they was wondering, they was amazed. And so when Peter got him a good crowd, I'm just skipping through here, he preached. He started preaching. Any good preacher, that's what they'll do. Raymond T. Ritchie, an old-time minister, used to say that healing was a dinner bell. It'll bring people in when miracles begin to happen. The miracles are get people there so you can teach them about the kingdom of God, not try to show them how to overthrow the Roman Empire. My God, help me. My God, help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So he began to preach, and he preached on down through Acts chapter 3. In verse 19, he said, repent, therefore, be converted. Your sins be washed away, and he'll send Jesus. And he talked about all those things. And then he get on down to Acts chapter 4, because I'm trying to get to a place. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spoke unto the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. In other words, Peter and John were not preaching about how to overthrow the Roman government. They were preaching Jesus, and it made the religious folks mad. You see, that's in the Bible. They weren't preaching what man wanted to hear. They were preaching what God wanted them to preach. They had a word from heaven, and they were preaching it. But being grieved that they taught the people and all the thing, they laid hands on them in verse 3 and put them in a hole. In other words, they arrested them. And then they came and told them what it was and all that. And verse 13 is that verse that I was talking about. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They marveled. They were amazed. They were shocked. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they had been partakers of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom was in them, inside of them. The Holy Ghost lived in them. And so, what happened? They called them into court, and they, of course, they was going to do something with them and further persecute them. But they could not challenge them anymore because the man was healed, and he was standing right there too. Everybody knew this man. He'd been laying by the temple gate for a long time. He was born that way for many, many years. They couldn't say nothing against it, so they had commanded them to go aside, verse 15. And they, verse 16, what's he going to do with these men? He said, if we don't stop this, this is going to be manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. Well, that's what God wants to do, build his kingdom throughout Jerusalem. They were building the kingdom of God. But they said, but it spread no further. There were 17. They straightly threatened them that they speak no more in the name of Jesus. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge. For we cannot but speak the things which ye have seen and heard. When they further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish him because of all the people, for all men glorified God that for that which was done, the man being raised up. For the man was above 40 years old. He was over 40, so everybody in the area and region knew him. On whom this miracle of healing was showed, the kingdom of God had come in contact with him. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them and said, we need to get a protest group and we need to go down and we need to march in the streets. We need to surround the Capitol building. We need to do this and we need to get our signs. We need to get some good attorneys and we need to, and listen, I'm not saying all those things may not have their place, but Peter and John didn't do it. The church didn't do it. They were focused on building God's kingdom, not on building a natural nation. Even though the nation is important, God's going to build his church and we're going to steamroll over the devil. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Verse 23, they went, let go. They went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Threatened them, you cannot preach and you cannot build the kingdom of God anymore. It says, when they heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, God, kill them all. Kill that man up there. He got that office illegal anyway. Kill that one over there. You know they stole it. Make that one over there fall dead. Supreme Court. Democrats. The rhinos. Republicans in Congress. Get them all. Bless God, get them all. Lord, Lord, look at they trying to stop us. We're going to protest this thing. Is that what they did? Now, are those things have their place? They have their place. But the problem in the church world today, those things are more important than building the kingdom of God as a general rule. You look at what people are saying, what people are posting, what prophets are prophesying. It's all related to governmental issues and Trump getting back in and all this. And listen, I'm not against anybody. I'm for the kingdom of God. But the Holy Ghost stirred me up about this. He started speaking to me about it about 6 months ago. But I couldn't say anything. And so we're saying it now. This is what they did. The reason I'm pointing this out is because if we follow their example, we're going to get the results that they got. We're looking for examples. This is an example. It says, when they heard that, in other words, the threats that had been made against the church, because when you attacked Peter and John, you were attacking the whole church. They lifted up their voice to who? To God. With one accord. And said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They didn't talk about the problem. They talked about how big God was. They didn't talk about the Sadducees. You know why they were called Sadducees? Because they were sad, you see. Not really, but it sounds good. You know, that's my edumacation anyway. But it says they talked about God. That's what they talked about, how big he was. They talked about his kingdom. Isn't that right? You are the Lord, they said. Thou art God. They're focused on that. Not the Romans, not the Sanhedrins, not the high priest, not anybody else. They're focused on God and his kingdom and the sea and all that in them is. In verse 24, says, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? He said, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, they were just pointing out what had happened to the Lord in prayer. Verse 29 says, now, Lord, you behold their threatenings. I'm not going protest against them. You behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants, the church, that with all boldness that we may speak your word or we may build your kingdom. How? By stretching forth thine hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed this way and focused their attention on the right thing, which was God in God's kingdom, when they had prayed, verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness and the multitude that believed were of one heart and one soul. That's what it says. Verse 33 says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why? Where was their focus at? Where was their attention on? It was on God. It wasn't on the people that had threatened them, and it wasn't on the people trying to shut them down and stop the church. You cannot stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church is focused on God. God's going to be with them. God's going to watch over them. And God's going to protect them supernaturally in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, we need to focus on God. Can I tell you something else? Are you sure? You won't get mad at me. Don't you still like me when I get through? That's what the Lord told me. And he wasn't saying it, I don't think, to attack anybody, but he was just telling the truth. He said, the American church. Now, America makes up more than just the United States, you know. It's what they taught me. My teacher over here, I know he knows all that. As Americas go, you got North America, Central America, South America. But I believe when he said the American church, I believe that he was basically talking about our nation. Maybe Canada, maybe some other nations, you know, could be. He said, the American church is so busy. Be easy now. Easy. Easy. Don't jump. Don't jump. Let me bridle you up. He said, the American church is so busy seeking entertainment, amusement, and relaxation that they don't have time to seek my face. Now, let's balance that out. That doesn't mean that those things are necessarily wrong. But they are wrong when that becomes your priority in life. Because you're out of focus. God doesn't mind you having some entertainment. He don't mind you having amusement. He don't mind you having some relaxation. In fact, Jesus even told his disciples, the apostles, come and let's go into a desert place and get out of here and hide. Let's go over by the oasis over there and sit down and get an iced tea, sweet tea. He was Southern, you know, sweet tea. And let's rest a while. So he doesn't mind that. But the focus, it seems, be according to Jesus, what he said to me, the focus seems to be the priority is on those things. Entertainment, amusement, and relaxation. Now, I didn't think that up. That's what the Lord showed me. And he said, because of this, your nation, talking about this nation now, specifically the United States of America, has the problems that it does. Because people have not taken the time to pray and stand against these things. And remember, all of us have our own station in life and calling in life. But whatever we're called to do, we need to embrace it. We need to accept it. And then when we do, we'll find out that God will show up supernaturally. So, does that mean we can't have entertainment? I didn't say that. That means we can't have a little amusement. No, I didn't say that either. Said you. Does that mean we can't have relaxation? No, I did not say that either. All those things have their place, and they're good in their place. But when those things become a priority in the church, Jesus. Most churches today, not all, there's a lot of wonderful preachers and churches, but most people attend church today for three things: entertainment, amusement, or some kind of relaxing thing that's going to happen. As long as I don't have to do nothing, as long as I'm not held accountable, as long as I don't have to change, just entertain me, make me feel good, give me a warm and fuzzy, and let me go as quick as you can. And sure, don't talk about anything about changing and seeking God and building God's kingdom. We don't want nothing to do with that. But that's what's going on. And I don't condemn anybody. I say it for this reason. We as a church world need to refocus our attention on what's the most important thing in life. And that is the kingdom of God. These things that are coming on this nation are here by the devil to distract the church from doing what it's called to do. Because the greatest move of God that has ever happened in the world is right upon us now. But it takes some effort to enter into these things. It takes preparation. I believe what the Holy Ghost told us at the front of the first of the service. Preparation to move into these things. You have to prepare for. So in this day, God wants you to know that it's not hopeless in our nation. And that don't mean that we're going to allow the devil to take over. And even though that we've pointed out some problems in our nation, in the church, Jesus Christ will visit us in a supernatural way. I hesitate to share this. In fact, I'm not going to share exactly what happened, exactly who I saw. But when I was in Gatlinburg in our meeting, I stepped up to minister in one of the services. I think this crew was up there. See, they don't know this either because I didn't say anything. But remember that when the anointing came and when I stood in the pulpit, all I done stood there and prophesied by the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? It was just, that's all it was. I mean, I don't even know if I even opened the Bible or not. You know what, in which the Bible is important. We'd opened it many times. But I began to prophesy. And somehow I walked around. I was standing behind the pulpit and I walked this way. When I did, I seen somebody standing to my right and looked and somebody was standing there in that service. And I'm not going to share publicly who was standing there, but he wasn't a devil. It wasn't a devil. And later, because I had been through it, I mean, the enemy tried to take me out at that meeting. I never had an experience like this before, a physical experience, not heart-related or nothing, but I had a physical experience like I'd never had in my life.
on Monday night. Always get there early and prepare and seek God. But on Monday night, I like to went to heaven. And God brought me through. That same meeting I had taken off of my aircraft that's sitting up here right now at Jamestown International. It's Jamestown International. They got a road that goes under the airport in a tunnel up there. Anyway, I took off that airplane to come to Gatlinburg, and all of a sudden, whistles, bells, and buttons went off and warning things, and oil temp went through the roof, and cylinder heads are about to get too hot to the point of exploding, and whew. I advised air traffic control. They said, "You declare an emergency." I said, "Not till it blows up." When it blows up, we're going to float a while, you know? And I was doing everything that I knew to do as a pilot and halfway mechanic in order to try to get control. And I seen that I could not get them. And there's a lot of things that could have been going. It could have been bad sensors. It could have been a lot of things. But anyway, I returned that airplane back to our home airport. My wife was on board. I didn't tell her anything till I started back, and I had to talk to her then. See, when she's flying with me, if you want her praying and serious about God and reading the Bible, just put her in an airplane. She believes she's going to get close to heaven, you know. And so she has headsets on that we wanted to wear because they're Bose and they noise counseling things, you know, because you do have noise in an aircraft and ours. And she has them, but she wants me to mute her. I can mute the system where she can't hear the air traffic controllers and she can't even hear me. And if I want to talk to her, I have to touch her lightly and tell her, hit the button, and then I tell her something, you know. So we made that turn. I seen her looking, you know, and she realized something's going on. She don't know what. And I told her, "We're returning." I said, "I'm having some problems with the engine." I told air traffic control what they're going to do. They said, "You want the emergency crew out when you get there, you know?" And I said, "No, not right now." I said, "Everything's fine." And I had to take my airplane back. And I'm telling you all this to say, I believe this is why the Lord told me this. And I had that experience. So I put the airplane on the ground. Well, I don't have time to investigate. I don't have time to get a mechanic because I've got to go from there where I'm at in Oklahoma, and I got to be in Dayton, Tennessee and preach on a Sunday for Dr. Chip. Y'all remember? So if the plane don't go, I got to get out of there because it's a long drive. So I just told my wife, "We're going to jump in the vehicle and we're just going to go." So we did and took off and got over there. Well, on Sunday evening, Chris drives our equipment truck. Some of you have seen it that's been there. He was driving. You remember this that was there. Chris was having to go through Maryville because there was an accident on 40 out there. You know how you go down where your mother-in-law and dad-in-law lives? I think Pastor Nancy's there now. Yeah, visiting them. Maryville. Y'all want to go see Mary? I know where she lives. She's over in Tennessee. Maryville. And he got hit in the back in our truck with a church van. Bang! And it wasn't his fault. And we had to get guys out there in the parking lot and pry and beat and knock in order to get the equipment out of the truck, take it in. And then that was, you know, had that experience on Friday in the airplane. Chris had that on Sunday. And then on Monday night, I thought I was going to the next rim. Paul said, "Since you one caught up to the third heaven," I guarantee you, I made it to the second. You know, I didn't get all the way. But it was an experience in my body like I had never experienced before. But I went through that. And then, though, when we got in the meeting, and then I had that anointing that night, and it came on me that night, and I looked to my right, and when I did, I seen somebody was standing there. Stood there for a good 10, 15 minutes. And I just kept on. Didn't say anything to anybody there, but the anointing was strong. So I didn't understand because I didn't know why or anything like that. So I asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said to me, he said, "Remember when I was in the garden at Gethsemane before I went to the cross?" He said, "I was praying and I was experiencing great opposition. And then God sent someone from heaven, remember, to strengthen him. An angel was sent from heaven to strengthen him." He said, "I have sent you strength to help you in this last day, end time
move of God. He said, heaven is going to get involved. Now that, I said all that to say this, church, we're not in this by ourselves. Now we don't build our life and ministries and doctrines on experiences. We build it on the Word of God. Isn't that right? And we are sticklers for the Word of God. But I do know this, as we focus on building the kingdom of God in this day and establishing God's kingdom this day, and don't over-focus on these natural things that's going on in our land, and I'm not saying now that they don't require attention, because they do require some attention. And there's things naturally we may need to do, and there's ways we need to pray, but what we need first and foremost is to build the kingdom of God, and that is where we're going to find the last day end time anointing that everybody prophesied about up till this day. They saw it, they prophesied, and they told us it was coming. But more so than that, I believe that the Bible can prove it out. If you get into Joel chapter 2, I believe the Bible will prove that out too. I believe that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. That's what he's coming for. And ladies and gentlemen, this is our day. This is our time. This is our hour. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be worked out. God is going to be with us, and we're not going to focus on him. We're going to focus on Jesus. We're going to focus on building his kingdom, and as we do, we're going to steamroll over the devil. Amen. And God's going to shake the church in this day. It belongs to you and I. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've shared a portion of what you said to say. But Lord, we're just going to unhook from right here. Now, Lord, we're going to step out, and we're going to trust you, and we're going to believe you, and we're going to thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this time and this season. In fact, I'd like to invite you to do something. If it's all right with Pastor Tim, would you just stand to your feet? And I'd like for you to begin to pray in the spirit, if you will. Father, we're focusing on you right now. Father, we pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that's the way you taught the apostles to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we thank you for that now. Father, as we pray and as we seek your face, Lord, we thank you that you're changing things certainly in our nation. Lord, we're concerned about our nation, even though as we know that you're concerned. But Father, our focus and our attention is upon you. Lord, our eyes are upon you. And Father, we thank you tonight that the Spirit of the living God is moving and living inside of each one of us. Lord, is taking us on and showing us the revelations that we need to receive. And Father, I thank you that you're solidifying and establishing your word and your truths in each person's heart here tonight. And Father, I thank you for the anointing of God coming upon them, coming upon their children, coming upon everything that they set their hand to. Father, I thank you that they will prosper and they will be successful, Lord, in your kingdom. As you're anointing, they're looking to you, Lord. They're trusting you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that that kingdom is being established in this earth in the name of Jesus. Lord, we break the powers of darkness. Lord, the strategies of Satan that has come against your kingdom now. We break the strategies of Satan that's come against people, even in this audience tonight. And Father, we release the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon them. And I thank you, Lord, that they will go forth from this place tonight with a fresh anointing, a fresh move of the Holy Ghost in their life. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you'll walk with them. You'll reveal yourself to them. You'll make yourself known to them in a supernatural way. Now, Father, tonight, we thank you, Lord, that because they've reverently accepted your word, not my word, but your word. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you bring a special blessing upon each and every one, every minister, every pastor, every church, every Christian, every saint of God. Lord, I thank you that it comes upon them in a supernatural way, and they go forth in a brand new way from this very day. In Jesus' name, amen. I preached myself happy. I said, I preached myself happy. I don't know about you, but I preached myself happy. I'm satisfied that I said what the Lord said, that he told me to say, but that's not all, but that's what he told me to say. So what we're going to do, with your permission, is unhook from here, because we're going to be here more than one service. And so I invite you to come back when it's dismissed at a later date, but you can be seated for now. I'm going to turn it to Pastor Tim.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but listening to Reverend Greer speak tonight, doesn't it just make you hungry for building the kingdom of God? I don't know about you, but I want to see more souls saved. I want to see people taught the word of God. I want to see families restored, bodies healed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Reverend Greer, thank you so much for obeying the Lord here tonight. I know we're all blessed. I know we're all helped and we're strengthened. Praise the Lord. Folks, we're going to get ready to receive our love offering here tonight. Everything that's going to be given is going to go towards Randy Greer Ministries. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have. Can you real quickly just bring up John chapter 13 in verse 20? And this is the verse that I use throughout meetings. When we have somebody here that the Lord has sent us, you know, we want to receive them as we would receive Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord, because Reverend Greer is his ambassador, and we want to be faithful. Praise the Lord. Jesus speaking in this verse, he says, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. And so we want to be generous. We want to be good. We want to step out, and we want to remember, folks, we don't have meetings in this church because of networking. You know, we don't have meetings because ministers are buddies and we want to do something nice for them. We have meetings because they are divine appointments. And we don't have an overabundance of meetings, right? Because we just bring in the ones that God has appointed to us. And so tonight we are receiving Reverend Greer like we would receive the Lord, and we are going to be a blessing. Amen. And so let's go ahead. Let's get ready to receive tonight's offering. If you're writing checks, we're making them out to Family Church. If you want to use an envelope there in your seat pocket in front of you, please go ahead and do so. Let's go ahead and pray as we give tonight. Father God, we just love you and we praise you. And Lord, we receive Reverend Greer, Lord, as we would receive you, because you have sent him. And Father God, we just thank you for what we've heard. And Father, we just thank you for the family churches that are hungry to build your kingdom. And Father, that we are not to be distracted by the situations in this world. That Father, that we are not to get pulled into the political world and be overly concerned and just only dwell on that. Father, of course we thank you for our nation. Father, of course we thank you for the freedoms that we have. And Lord, we know that those things are important. But Father, nothing is as important as building your kingdom. Father, nothing is as important as winning souls to Christ. Father, we thank you so much. We praise you. We glorify you. And Father, as we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. And Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Well, I don't know about you, but I know where I'm going to be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Now, of course, when we do our Sunday nights, we always start at 6, but Monday and Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. And so we just invite you, please come on out. Folks, just a reminder, if you have children in our children's ministry, as soon as we dismiss, go on over there, pick them up, and then head over to the book and CD table and bring Reverend Greer home with you, right? Praise the Lord. And of course, you know, I know Reverend Greer has his testimony out there. It is a very powerful resource. If you want to witness, you know, to friends and to neighbors, and you want to see, you know, someone get saved, let them hear that testimony of how his life was changed by Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Folks, if you're grateful for what you got here tonight, let's just put our hands up and thank the Lord. Father, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you. Father, we receive the word, Father, with joy. And Father, we'll be doers of it. And Father God, we leave here tonight more hungry than ever to build the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.